I just praise the Lord for this day that he has made and to allow me to be a part of the praise and worship team.
Yes.
We know that our God is an awesome God.
Yes,
and Pastor Fiani, you have done some wonderful things for my ego. I hope I don't get squirrel-headed. But yes, sir, we have been, you know, knowing each other for a long time, and the only thing I can say that your hoary head means that you're a wiser man in God than when I first met you.
Yes.
So we praise the Lord. I am still here basking, trying to digest the, you know, residual of that wonderful feast we had last night and the concert and all those things. That was, I don't know if anybody said anything about it, but that was a great concert. And kudos to all those who were in the forefront. It was well orchestrated, and we praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
And we just know that our God is an awesome God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
So today we come before his presence, and I didn't prepare to sing, Pastor Fiani, but there's just one song that I just want to sing a part of the chorus. Central's never busy, always on the line.
Yes.
You can talk to Jesus almost any time. It's a royal service, free for one and all. When you get in trouble, give this royal line a call. Telephone to glory, oh, what joy divine.
Yes.
I can feel the current moving on the line. Built by God the Father, for his loved and old. You can talk to Jesus through this royal telephone. That's a song that I learned a long time ago, long before there was an internet. There was a direct connection. And I'd never been broken down except sin. Carnal combination can disconnect the line.
Amen.
But if we stay connected to God, if we know that our God is an awesome God and that nothing takes him by surprise, it doesn't matter if the services turn out down here.
Yes.
We know we are connected perpetually forever.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
No storm, flood, no earthquake, no fire, nothing can separate us from this royal telephone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we glorify the Lord, because even last week I was working on my computer and I just discovered that I didn't have any more internet service, not because I didn't pay the bill, but because there was a disconnect. And they told me I should reset my wireless button. But the royal telephone never go out of service.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The God we serve is always in control. He's in total, complete control. And nothing takes him by surprise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we look now at our lesson for today.
Yes.
And the topic that I want to bring to us is what the Lord himself commanded. And the topic is, occupy till I come.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Father God, we come before you now. We come before you because you are God all by yourself.
Yes.
In you, we live and move and have our being.
Yes, Lord.
We are your workmanship created in you, Christ Jesus, unto good works.
Yes.
We know without a shadow of a doubt that we are no mistake. We are all people that you have brought together on purpose.
Yes.
We pray that as we gather here today, Lord God, and you have commanded us even through this parable that is so unique. It is talking about you being involved as our Lord, our Savior. That you have established us to be your representative. We are your workmanship created in you, Christ Jesus, unto good work. We pray that we will listen what you have to say to us. We pray that the Spirit of the living God will fall afresh upon us, that you will break us up of Balagon. You will mold us afresh. You will fill us with your divine presence. You will use us for your glory. For thine is the kingdom forever and ever. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes,
it's Luke 19, 11 through 27 is what we're talking about, and we have already discovered that God is talking to us individually. The passage before us is sandwiched between the Lord's encounter with Zacchaeus as he passed through Jericho and his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The Lord's message is given in the form of a parable, given without expansion or comment.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ is on his way up to the city of Jerusalem for the last time in his earthly ministry.
Yes.
He's about to send two disciples ahead for the colt. We know that story. The donkey that was tied, because Jesus is going to use that colt for his glorious entry into the royal city of David.
Yes.
At this point, the Lord Jesus determined that he needs to straighten out some wrong conclusions. Aren't you glad that God doesn't have to get what we say to know what we are about?
Our very thoughts.
If we thought that we could hide from God, we can't. He knows even our thoughts, and God was picking up some thoughts that the disciples were concerned about who would be the greatest.
Yes.
Can you imagine being around God and all the miracles, all the unusual appointments, and all we are thinking about is it about what's in it for me? Hallelujah.
Yes.
And
yes.
God was about to let them know that it's not about me. It's all about him.
Indeed.
Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the focal point. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the bringer of salvation, in whom we live and move and have our very existence.
Yes.
It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
But these were assuming that shortly after their master would be sitting up on his throne. They thought Jesus came at that time to take over. The private discussion of the disciples reveals this. Remember, they were arguing about who was going to have what position in the new government. According to Mark 10:35-37 and Luke 9:46. Who would sit on the Lord's right hand and left hand? Today, if we were looking at politics, because politics is so pervasive, it's all over the place. You can't turn on your TV, a paper, and without politics, it's just popping up in your face.
Yes.
But we would equate it to today with those who will let us know that God has brought certain people in to govern. And sometimes we see the governance is not according to godliness.
Yes.
Because in the law there's wisdom
to teach
them that they will need it, what they need to focus on. It speaks of a nobleman.
Yes.
So that brings out the parable. A nobleman who was going away to receive his kingdom. In his absence, he leaves his servants with a charge over a portion of his wealth. These 10 servants were to faithfully take what he had given them and use it profitably until he returns.
Yes.
The Lord presents himself as that certain nobleman.
Yes.
Noble by birth, noble by rank. In the parable, this man has gone to receive his kingdom. They said that Herod, the tetrarch, had a nephew named Archelaus, who had done something like that about 30 years before Jesus was born, according to Jewish history.
Yes.
And so Jesus gave a parable that would be familiar with the audience.
Yes.
That
yes.
is always, anything God does, it reaches its target. Because yes, God doesn't make any hit or miss.
Yes.
God has a bullseye.
Yes.
He clearly knows what he's doing, and he will not move before it is perfect in his own timing. God cannot be rushed.
Thank you.
God is not frustrated about anything.
No, sir.
He is meticulous. As a matter of fact, he commanded in his handing out of his 10 pounds to his 10 servants, one of the specific commandments he gave them individually was to occupy, hallelujah,
yes,
until he comes.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how long it took for him to come, we are to occupy.
Occupy.
We are to be busy.
Yes.
We are to be involved.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Occupy means we don't have time to waste.
Yes.
Occupy means our focus is on God. Occupy means that we are not looking about what's going to happen to us. We are clearly saying, if God be for us, then who can be against us? In yes. God, we are more than conquerors through him.
Yes.
Because he loves us. He died for us. He came for us. He individually knows us.
Yes.
And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every mouth that rise up against us, God has already condemned.
Yes.
That is protective umbrella over his people. It doesn't matter what we hear, but doesn't matter what we see. Because God is for us.
Yes.
We know that victory is guaranteed to be ours.
Yes.
Because we are not our own. We have been bought with a price, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with his precious blood. When you occupy a thing, it means you are controlling the environment.
Yes.
You are not just there, but you are there on purpose. You are there because you have been established and sent there by God.
Indeed.
When you occupy something, it means you are focused on what needs to be done. You are paying attention to the situation in your surrounding.
Yes.
So if we see things going out of whack, we know we can clearly look to the Lord.
Yes.
We can clearly seek his face.
Yes.
We can
Amen.
Clearly ask him what he would have us to do.
Yes.
We find that today there are many headlines. A whole lot of things. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, the Lord said to Daniel, shut up the book.
Yes, sir.
For knowledge would increase.
Yes, sir.
Saints of God, I'm here to tell you that knowledge had never been increased at such a rapid pace as we have seen. And if we didn't know that God is infallible, when we see the mesmerizing things that's happening, all of the whistles and bells that in our face and what man is saying machine can do, we would sometimes be perturbed. But what we have to remember is that the Bible tells us, nevertheless,
yes.
the foundation of God stand sure.
Yes, sir.
Having this seal,
yes,
the Lord knows
Yes.
Them that are his.
Amen. Amen.
God clearly knew that the world had influenced his disciples. And rather than look at the miracle, and can you imagine if you and I, knowing what we now know, had the opportunity to be with Jesus, how we would nourish and cherish that. But these young men, because they were in the prime of their lives, Jesus called them young and strong and able and showed them miraculous things. Yet they were still governed by the fleshly ambition. They were still focused on what's in it for me.
Yes.
The big picture was not clear to them. But God said that he was going to a far country. Our God today, saints of God, is in a far country.
Yes.
That country is heaven. He's gone to prepare a place for us. When he goes, he will come again.
Amen.
He knows exactly when he's coming. He knows the moment. He tells us to watch and pray.
Yes.
Let me enter into temptation. Yes, today and forever. He is the same God. He controls everything. After he had gone to this far country, he came again.
Yes,
and
sir.
The day of reckoning came. Saints of God, we have to understand that we are not just here happenstance. We are not just here living moment by moment. We are completely under God's control.
Yes.
The word of God tells us all souls. Now think about this. Every living soul. There are over 8 billion people on earth.
Yes.
And all souls belong to God.
Every one of them, sir.
Everyone is accounted for. Nobody can slip through the crack. The God we serve is so awesome. He says, it tells the sea, it tells the wave how far it can go on the shore.
Yes, sir.
He knows every sand grain by number.
Every one of them, yes.
That's the God. He knows our thoughts.
Yes.
Our deeds, our intent.
Yes.
We cannot hide from God. And when he tells us to occupy till he comes, he knows if we are being idle.
Yes, sir.
But we will give account.
Yes.
The resources of the Lord's servants in verse 38, the nobleman gives each of his 10 servants a pound. I don't think that means that it's so much the money, because everybody got equal shares. When we look at it,
yes.
10 servants, 10 pounds. The responsibility of the Lord's servants starts in verse 13b. The servants were given very simple instructions. Occupy till I come.
Yes.
Amen.
What does the word occupy mean? It does not mean take up space. It does not mean wait.
Yes.
It means occupy, be doing something that glorifies and honor God.
Amen. Amen.
It doesn't mean sitting in your easy chair. It doesn't mean taking a nap in the day because you feel tired. Means get busy.
Yes.
Get active. Come out of passivity. Don't be passive anymore. Be involved. It means literally to carry on business by trading. because there's a day of reckoning coming.
Yes.
God does not have, I love to think about this. There are vehicles now that don't demonstrate it, but underneath the trunk of most vehicles, when you lift it up, you will find what is called a spare tire.
Yes, yes, sir.
God does not have any spare tire. God has the ability to keep us from getting punctured. So he doesn't have any just in case. He has everything under control.
Yes, sir.
God has equipped us, every one of us, wherever we are, with whatever ministry we might be affiliated with, he has equipped us to be helpers in the ministry.
Yes.
There is a unique part that has been honed out for us that nobody else can fill our role. We have a unique calling. That means every one of us, just as we are blessed with a unique fingerprint, a unique DNA.
Yes.
So God, who has come and set us together, has equipped us through the Holy Spirit to be functioning, to be effective in the ministry where he has placed us, and don't take time out to look at anybody else, because it's not my brother nor my sister. It is me, oh Lord, standing Lord in the need of prayer. It is Lord God Almighty. Here I am. Send me.
Yes.
God is looking at us. God is keeping store. And we find out who we are when we have been given responsibility.
Yes.
We find out who we are when we have made our, you know, report and what we observe and what we see. If we are looking through the eyes of the flesh, we cannot see far. But if we are taking care of the business that of our calling, then we are more than conquerors, because we are doing this not through our own effort, but because God has called us, and we accept the calling, and we are on the battlefield for the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Take note, the citizens of the kingdom hated the nobleman. They did not want him to reign over them. This certainly applies to our Lord Jesus as well. John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. This world hates King Jesus and views him with contempt. The idea that he would reign over them, the world doesn't mind the baby Jesus in a cradle.
Yes.
And they don't have a problem with a dead Jesus hanging on a cross. But they will not have a King Jesus to reign over them.
Yes.
Yes.
My God, the righteous, the rejoicing of the faithful servants, verse 17 through 19, the reports are given by 3 of the 10. Their praise and reward is in the package. Something here that would have been blessed the new king about his servant. Verse 16 tells us the servants gave their Lord the glory.
Yes, sir.
That poem, what a day of reckoning. Think about that, saint of God. Every one of us, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes, sir.
To give account for all our deeds. So the report, that pound has gained 10 pounds. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That pound has gained 5 pounds.
Yes.
That pound has gained 2 pounds.
Yes.
But here comes 1. I know you to be an austere a hard man.
Yes.
You want to reap where you did not sow. Now imagine, it was the Lord's pound that he gave. He didn't borrow that money to give. He gave out of his abundance. But the devil came in. And we must be watchful and vigilant. Because the devil, somebody was asking me during the week, or I think I heard it. They were saying, how come God still allows Satan to have so much access? Since God knows that Satan is so bad, why don't you just get rid of him?
Yes.
But you see, the beauty about God, God does not have to show how much authority he has.
Yes.
He just remains God.
Indeed.
Amen.
Indeed.
Amen.
Yes.
He just be himself. When the Bible says, all power is given unto me, it means all power has been given unto God.
Yes.
And we are his workmanship. But when God decides to move, it's not because of anybody influencing, because he's sovereign God. That means he has everything under control. And he decides what will happen. I read a sign. I love to read signs. And there was a sign that I saw on the door of a garage where it said, nothing happens without God's approval.
Yes, yes.
That means nothing tips the scale of balance from God. God is in total control in every aspect, in every area of our lives, in every incident that happened in the world.
Yes,
we see people who are now worried about what can happen. The tsunami, the earthquake, the fire, all of those things. What's going to happen? God is in control.
Amen.
Yes.
There is no God up in heaven walking around scratching his head. No. He's in total control. Nothing must sparrow fall to the ground without the knowledge. What a mighty God we serve.
Yes.
Angels are bowing before him.
Yes.
Heaven and earth is adoring him, for he's the King of kings.
Yes.
The Lord of lords.
Yes.
Earthly institution making noise and making headlines. But God.
Yes.
Is rich in mercy.
Amen. Amen.
Look down upon us day by day. He knows where we are hurting.
Yes.
And he's still saying, regardless of what's going on, my child, there is a place for you to occupy until I come. He's coming back again, the songman said. He's coming back again.
Yeah,
he went away not to stay. He's coming back again.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
Coming back again. He's coming back again. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
He's coming back again.
Ah, yes.
The word of God said, even so, Lord Jesus, come.
Yes, yes.
Come in your fullness, come in your power. Stamp your own image right on my heart. Oh, glory to God. God had a day of reckoning for these servants.
Yes.
The faithful will be rewarded for his faithfulness. The slothful will be rewarded for his slothfulness. But God declares to us, don't stand around. He said there are three kind of people. Some people watch things happen. Some people cause things to happen. And some people just wonder what's happening. Which side are we on? Where are we? May we be the ones who are used by God.
Yeah.
There is a longing in my heart that cannot be denied. It has long. It is a longing that has never yet been satisfied. We who are God's people, we who are in the occupational business, must be occupying until God comes. We must know that we are not here. We are not by chance. God comes back, and he accosted, he confronted those whom he had entrusted with his hard-earned or his legitimate money that he had blessed them with, give them, put trust in them, give them opportunity. You see, when the final analysis comes, nobody can say to God, you didn't reach out to me.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that while we were yet sinners,
amen,
he died for us. He owned up to the fact that he had done nothing with the bones, at least when humanity meets divinity. That altercation has always been that humanity has to plead guilty and can only ask for mercy. Because divinity is never at fault. What was his problem? He was indifferent. He had no interest in advancing his Lord's kingdom.
Yeah.
He wasn't about to add his Lord's wealth. He wasn't about to add to his Lord's wealth. His Lord had plenty. In fact, his Lord was always cashing in on others' labor. He did not care if his Lord's kingdom was furthered or not. God rebuked him. Why didn't you at least put in the bank? I didn't even realize that it was in a napkin that he hid the Lord's money. Can you imagine that? Wrapped it up in a napkin. Somebody could have taken that carelessly and flushed it down the toilet. As a matter of fact, that servant, but according to his attitude, would not even blink. He would say the master deserved it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is of the devil. Because when the Lord God himself came, when he presented his offering to us, and we take it and we trample under it, what we are saying, God is not worthy of us. It said that T.S. Lewis said there are two kinds of people on earth. One that the Lord says, thy will be done. Because they are doing nothing pertaining to godliness. They think the world was made there for their disposal for them to have a good time. The Epicurean and the Stoics who declare, let's eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. But the Lord told us that while that rich man, another rich man on the scene, had a bumper crop. And when he looked at his wonderful farmland and the bumper crop that's coming, he started to make plans. I am going to build a bigger barn. I am going to tear down because I don't have enough room to harvest my crop. So I'm going to call in the architect and I'm going to build a bigger barn.
Yes.
So in the future, I can have everything under my control.
Yes, sir.
But Jesus said, thou fool, tonight, the soul is required of you. The Lord's retribution in verse 24, 26, the 1 pound was taken from him and given to the one with 10 pounds. He refused to use the gift that his Lord had entrusted to him. And what happened? He lost it. It was taken from him. My God, even the very one gift that he had was taken. Glory to God. Glory to God. What he had was given to another. This is very interesting that those who were standing by protested upon being given to this one who had. Now, you see, a man loves to second guess God. They don't look at how the fact that God owns it all and the 10 pounds was God's. The 1 pound is God.
Yes.
The cattle and 1,000 hills belong to God. Our Father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. Rubies and diamonds, silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. God is the one who allows us, saints of God, to be here today. Every one of us, wherever we are. Some of us are in a plush surrounding. But that too is vanity.
Yes.
We must remember that this abundance that a man's soul is not consists in the abundance of the things that he possesses.
No.
We must remember that if we are denied anything, as somebody said, anything we have asked God for, and he does not give it to us, listen to this. Anything that we have asked God for, that he does not give to us, we are better off without it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anything we have asked God for, that he denied giving to us, we are better off without it.
Yes.
God knows when to hold us.
Yes.
And God knows when to bless.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrow to it. So God will not indulge us many times because he loves us. And no wonder a Job can say, although he slayed me, yet, hallelujah, will I trust him.
Yes.
If you will not use your gifts for the Lord's glory, God may well use someone else, and they will get the blessing here and the reward in glory.
Yes.
I don't know about you, saints of God, but I want my own reward.
Yes, sir.
And the only way I can get that reward is if I am obediently following God, doing what he has called me to do. God has invested in every believer. And what God has invested in us is according to our calling.
Yes, sir.
But many of us do not use the gifting that God has given us because we don't like it. The man who put the Lord's money in the napkin never liked the outlay of what God had given him. And it seems like today we have believers who are in the church, and the reason why they are not doing because they don't like the gift that God has given them.
Yes.
This is deep. They're spending a lot of time being jealous, envious of the gift on display around them because that's the gift they wanted.
Yes.
And God didn't give them.
Yes.
Anything you ask God for and he does not give to you, you are better off without it.
Yes, sir.
So if we learn nothing from this message of God, is that we are to trust God.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Then he will direct your path. That's who God is. Man look at the outward appearance, but God search your heart. And if God doesn't respond, it's because he loves you. He loves us too much.
Yes, sir.
To give in to us and our folly. He loves us too much. He respects his name. He honors his integrity. He cannot compromise. He's God. And he alone is God. Beside him, there is none other.
Yes.
God is our refuge.
Indeed.
And our fortress. God is our present help in time of trouble.
Sir.
The Lord Jesus said in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Why did the Lord, who, from our point of view, did nothing but good to those servants, and yet they took him as their enemy? They rejected his rule over them. Verse 14. You may be here. I have never done that with my crowd, because we love to find our escape hatch. We love to find where we are innocent. But the Bible gives us no escape hatch. But the Bible pulls us all in and puts us in one place and asks the question universally. If thou, O Lord, should have judged iniquity, who could stand?
Yes.
None of us saints of God can ever say we have arrived. None of us can ever say we have done the best for the Master. None of us can ever say we have earned the right to relax. Because Jesus went all the way. All the way to Calvary.
Yes, sir.
He went for me.
Yes.
And there, hallelujah, he set me free.
Yes, sir.
Although I had so many, many sins, Jesus took them all away.
Hallelujah.
And he pardoned me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He looked beyond my father's pen and your coach and saw my need.
Yes, sir.
And so I am ever embraced and enraptured in amazing grace. The love of God is powerful and therefore it constrains me. May God help us to look at our napkins and see if any of God's pound is hidden in it. We're not going to get a benefit from hiding the Lord's pound. What the Lord has given us is our talent. What we do with it is what God will judge us and hold us accountable for.
Yes, sir.
But there is nobody talentless. Everybody, I mean, I look at it coming back to the banquet last night there and the concert and dinner and everything. And I saw the coordination. I don't have to ask if there were meticulous effort put into decorating the place like that.
Yes.
I don't have to ask if somebody has a gift in that process. And we, the guests who came, we only enjoy the after effect. But I don't know if anybody even grew that thing, grew that thumb or a chin got hurt while they were doing it. But guess what? We saw the end result.
Yes,
and all we saw was the prettiness. We saw how they arranged the furnishing, the tables, the 14 tables. I counted with 10 seats around each table. And by the time we left, it's like the place was almost full. Maybe there were about 7 seats unoccupied.
Yeah.
So that's a good turnout. And All of that took, nobody could say, it just happened. It took effort. It took planning. It took determination. And the end result is, if we apply the same principle to godliness, God will come down and bless us.
Amen. Amen.
God is just waiting for us to demonstrate that we are grateful to him. He will shower us with blessing.
Amen.
There will not be room enough. You're talking about, you know, 14 tables. God will then give us capacity. If we fill up the 14, God will give us 14 more. But what God is waiting for us to do is to fill up to capacity that which he has already blessed us, show appreciation.
Yes.
Then he will increase the blessing.
Indeed. Bless God.
Hallelujah. The saints, it says, but those who call out to the Lord Jesus Christ for his mercy to them, those who receive him as their Savior, those who would gladly have him to rule over them, those ones will be saved. Their sins shall be answered, forgiven, and they shall forever belong to him.
Yes.
The question is asked, are we faithfully serving our King? If we were checked right now, if God had a pull-off station where he'd check us, look at our portfolio, would he find his blessing in our napkin? Or would we be demonstrating, would we be running him down with an attitude of gratitude to say, Lord, you gave me a pound. Here, I have got 10 more on it. Here, I've got 5 more on it. When it comes to who we are in God, God, as I said, does not have any spare parts. There's no spare tire. God has only fully functioning disciples, and we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work. There is a purpose for our calling. Last night, there was an altar call given, and I like how the preacher put it. He said that God is working on the heart.
Yes.
And that person might not know it yet.
Yes.
But something is happening that God is already dealing with them. I have always said a lot of the birds who fall in church, and I forgive me for calling God's people birds, but it's an analogy. Many of the birds who fall in church were wounded outside the church.
Yes, sir.
And when I say wounded, I mean they were hit with the gospel message.
Yes.
And their stubborn will still kept them going away from it, but they had to come home to roost. And when you give altar call and the drop arrives at the altar there, guess what? It's not because we impact them, but we were there because it's Paul who plants, Apollos water, but it's God give the increase. And some of the people who were called out last night at that concern, they're going to one day end up at another venue where the word of God took effect. Where the stubborn will at last has yielded.
Mm-hmm.
So all we have to do is to be encouraged that anything we do for Christ will last.
Indeed.
Anything we do for Christ will last. As long as we have done it for Christ, and we do it as unto the Lord and not unto men.
Yes.
Are you faithfully serving your King? There is a reward of faithful service. The reward will be granted not according to whether or not you have done more than others, but whether you did what you could and should have done with what the Lord has given you. Don't get caught up in another man's activity. What about what God told you to do?
Yes.
It's not my brother, nor my sister. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Right. Yes.
Remember that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleansed us from all unrighteousness, was there shed on Calvary for all of us. But the blood that was shed is going to necessarily bring out a day of reckoning. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for every deed done in our mortal body, whether they are good or whether they are evil.
Yes.
We would close right now by just reading two scriptures. Saul of Tarsus, we know as Paul the Apostle. He was active in religiosity. He was clearly pursuing what the law could present. The Bible tells us the law was a schoolmaster to take us under Christ. When it comes to the law, Paul declared himself he was blameless. But in Acts 9, 5 to 6, a turning point came in his life. And as he was on his road to Damascus to persecute the church, those of the way, the author and finisher of our faith, met him.
Yes.
And on that Damascus road, there was an altercation. And Saul of Tarsus met the Lord. Okay, Acts 9, verse 5. Verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, hallelujah, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. That is arrogant humanity encountering divine divinity.
Yes.
And saints of God, brothers and sisters, whenever humanity encounters divinity and there is an understanding of who is who, all humanity can cry immediately is that I am guilty. And even by the sovereign God, whose mercy extends, I will then declare, Lord, have mercy.
Yes, yes.
Humanity who meets divinity and understands that we are out of our league, as Balthazar, using the divine cups to have a fun time, is sent by the cups to pour secular wine in it and to drink among his friends. And the Lord said, enough is enough. And extended his fingers to write on the wall in the midst of the frolicking, meeny, meeny, el tekai. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting, because God has not zapped us. Many of us think we are getting away with things.
Yes.
But all God is doing is giving us another chance.
Indeed.
This man Paul, this man Saul at the time, who became the Apostle Paul, When he asked the Lord and the Lord declared to him what? We're going to end up 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. The man who asked, who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? God told him, who is? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Saints of God, everything we do contrary to godliness is against Jesus Christ.
Amen. Bless God.
We are not impacting our brothers and sisters as we are actually in the faith. David was the one who declared in Psalm 51, against thee, the only ultimately every sin we commit is an affront to Jesus Christ. Every sin we commit, we are saying, God, we are disregarding your principles and your love and your compassion that you have shown towards us. And we are saying, we're going to take it our way. We are going to do what we think that we should do because we are the ones who were hurt. And God, you don't know what they've done to me.
Yeah.
But not so with Saul of Tarsus. When Saul was confronted by Jesus, he clearly realized he was up against not an ordinary person. Because this man was so religious, he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, who was the greatest law expounder during the era. And he was given counsel. He was consulted when Paul wanted to know what to do concerning the law, that Paul could come and tell us concerning the law. He was blameless. But then he met the Savior. And when you meet Jesus, it's a different story. So this Saul says, who art thou, Lord? He had the understanding that who he was up against was no ordinary man. He had never been in a predicament like this. And God told him, gave him instructions, sent him to Ananias. We know the whole story. He became one who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, the books. Saul is attributed to Saul of Tarsus. But in 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, here is a man who has kept the faith, finished his course.
Yes.
Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand.
Yes.
I have fought a good fight.
Yes.
I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing.
Amen. Bless God.
What a testimony.
Yes.
What a testimony.
Yes.
When we have followed through what God has instructed us to do,
yes,
when we have occupied the space that He gives us, now remind ourselves, saints of God, you can't occupy another person's space.
Yes.
Your space is your space, and my space is my space. And God will judge us according to what we have done, the space that He has given us to occupy.
Yes, sir.
May God help us to realize that we can't use anybody else's performance as our excuse. God is coming. The saints of God, when you leave your house in the morning or the evening, whatever time, remind yourself that, no, I belong to Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And all you got to say, if I hold my peace, no. Yeah, I know there are many rough roads out there. But if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle. Victory is guaranteed to be mine. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever.
Yes.
He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me here and knew him. And all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath his cleansing blood. Saints of God, the Lord says to all of us, we must occupy until he comes.